Welcome to the Elevate the Edge podcast. I'm Maribel Lopez of Lopez Research, and I'm joined with my co-host Joe Peterson of Clarify 360. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. Elevate the Edge is published bi-weekly. The podcast focuses on helping companies understand what edge computing is, how the market will evolve, and what you need to know to build successful edge computing strategies. Show notes and subscription links can be found at elevatetheedge.com/episodes. We hope you'll enjoy the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Elevate the Edge podcast. I am Maribel Lopez, and as always, I'm joined here today by my lovely co-host, Joe Peterson. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Maribel.
Great to see you again. We could see each other, but the people on the audio cannot. And we are excited to be joined here today by Greg Jones. He is the CTO of Kajeet, and it's we've been going back and forth on getting him on the podcast. I'm really excited to have you here, Greg. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Maribel. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm excited to talk to you guys about elevating the edge.
Okay, so I guess for those that might not be familiar with Kajeet, maybe we could start with what you do and how long you've been around, and then we'll toss it over to Joe.
Right, sure. So Kajeet has been in business almost 20 years. We are a managed IoT services company. For those of you that don't know what that means, we kind of manage the entire stack from devices all the way up through the infrastructure network applications that run on those devices. Across many different networks and different types of networks, a lot of award-winning features from security to analytics and lots of other things that allow you to manage your deployments. We started off in education, where you know our main mission was to bridge the digital divide between those that are haves and have-nots in terms of being able to access broadband internet in schools, which went absolutely insane during COVID. I think we probably connected in the remote learning. We probably connected almost 500,000 students in like 3 weeks. That was pretty insane, you know, shipping out Chromebooks and hotspots and, you know, all the policy management and everything for them to get connected to their classes. Since then, we've branched out into other areas of IoT in the enterprise world, healthcare, transportation, et cetera. And we also recently launched a lot of partnerships in our private 5G network service as well. So a lot of really exciting things going on at Kajeet.
Well, it sounds like you've been keeping super busy, Greg. That's great.
A lot of fun technology to play with.
Yeah, that's always fun. So for the audience that maybe is wondering, edge computing is this super hot term these days. How does edge, in your mind, differ from IoT?
Yeah, so I think a lot of times people think of, because something is IoT or, you know, Internet of Things, that it must be at the edge because it's not, you know, necessarily connected on your home router or something like that. Not necessarily the case. The Internet of Things obviously could be any connected device anywhere, wired, you know, over fiber, on Wi-Fi, you know, cellular, et cetera, et cetera. So IoT really is just the connectivity of certain devices and how they all connect and talk. Whereas the edge is really about more from the perspective of where that compute happens. Compute happening on a device, like I said, that is connected to the cloud or it's connected to a data center, connected to your home connection, is going to operate a certain way. It's going to send a lot of that information back to the main processing unit to have that information evaluated, decide what to do on the device, et cetera. Whereas edge is really more of an evolving term where you're putting the compute at the device itself. And that device could sit anywhere. It could sit in a traffic light. It could sit, you know, in an EV charging station or, you know, in a sensor that's, you know, on a dog collar. You know, it doesn't really matter. But being able to process the information on the device where it's deployed and, you know, make decisions and things like that, instead of having to send all that information back to the main processing unit, is really what the edge is about. It's about, you know, having less bandwidth, only sending back the critical data that needs the bigger processing, and instead doing a lot more of that decision making and processing at the end user device.
That was a very great non-technical explanation of how it works. And I think the key thing that you said was the intelligence is in the device, right? The compute happens in the device. So that was great. Thanks for that.
Of course.
So much like what Joe just asked you as a question, you know, we're hearing a lot about 5G, and you mentioned 5G, and there's a lot of discussion about things like private 5G. So what is private 5G, maybe, is another perhaps not so technical discussion point? And what type of companies or industries can benefit from it? Because is it something we should think about for everybody or for certain use cases? Or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm going to take my propeller hat off for a second because I could really dive deep on all the really cool stuff in 5G. But for your audience, let me bring it up a level and say, you know, people think of 5G when they get their new iPhone and they go, oh my gosh, I see a 5G up here instead of LTE. That means that I'm connected to a tower or whatever that gives me, a broader pipe to be able to do more video when it's faster and things like that. And that's all great. You know, you have these, you have all these devices now that are taking advantage of 5G. 5G from the carriers themselves, the AT&Ts and the Verizons, et cetera, are all about, providing at the cellular tower that connectivity that gets you that, because they're using spectrum that they bought from the government that is very wide band that allows you to do video and massive, you know, different types of applications, which is all wonderful and great. But number one, it's not deployed everywhere. Even though people will say we have coverage everywhere, it's not necessarily true. There are dead spots. And there's also some problems as you move from cell site to cell site with the handoff. So 5G is still evolving a little bit. Public 5G, that is, over the different carriers, the AT&Ts and Verizons and whatnot. But it's also not cheap to build, deploy, and manage. And you have to also have the devices that can talk to that frequency. So that's 5G. Private 5G is something that's become really interesting for whether it's municipalities, universities, industrial complexes, healthcare systems, et cetera, where they say, I don't want to necessarily have to be dependent on those carriers. I would like to be able to have my own closed, secure network that I apply my own policies to, and I don't want to pay the kind of rates to all the different carriers, and I may have coverage here of one and coverage here from another, and then I have dead spots and whatever. So why don't I just go ahead and become my own carrier effectively, use this thing called CBRS, which is the broadband spectrum that was allocated by the government for consumer use, which is free, and put up my own antennas and on top of my buildings and run my own little private network on 5G. And then, you know, within that, I have more control. I don't have to pay all those extra costs, and I can extend and create what's, you know, we call a hybrid network, which is I'm going to have all the fiber that's coming into my buildings and Wi-Fi access, et cetera. And I can set policies on those devices and then have that then roam out of the Wi-Fi area into maybe 2 or 5 square miles. And then allow them to have that same connectivity. It's just now into a private 5G using their own antennas and equipment, like I mentioned. And then to then be able to go even further out and say, okay, now I want to have a handoff because now I'm outside of that private 5G area and I want to roam out into public 5G. And so you can have ubiquitous coverage for whatever those devices are. And one of the things that we provide is a full managed stack solution for those hybrid networks where you might want to control certain use cases. In healthcare, for instance, you might want to have certain policies or certain things locked down, blocked, non-addressable IP addresses, you know, things like that, that are very, very secure. And, you know, that works fine when it's in the hospital. You put it into a private 5G. Now you're like, okay, now I can still control it because I control the network and the device and all the layers. I go into the public, you know, how do I deal with having those same configurations and things like that? And that's one of the things that Khajiit does is we apply that to all the public networks, our own private networks, and then we can work basically across any of those networks to apply the exact same level of security, access, analytics, all those kind of things that someone would want. So, private 5G, sorry, very long-winded answer, but private 5G is one of our offerings that we've now paired up in kind of a hybrid with public 5G. And so the use cases, as I mentioned, might be you have a lot of you have a lot of sensors or devices that you want to connect. It might be, you know, security cameras, it might be door sensors, it might be lots of different things. But you also want to have access to anything from, you know, laptops and tablets and whatever else you want to deploy, could be, you know, all of that can then be controlled centrally and at a much lower cost than having to put everything up for public. So
there's a lot of places we could go with this right now. And, you know, we have two topics that kind of really very interrelated. We've got 5G and we've got IoT. And IoT is something that we've been talking about for a long time. You know, it started off with the concept of machine-to-machine communications. We can go back at least that far. So what are some of the key issues that you're seeing companies struggle with as they think about setting up and managing IoT networks, or we could call them connected devices networks or edge networks? There's a lot of different ways we could take that. And is there something they should be doing differently?
Yeah, so one of the things that I think companies struggle with, or customers in general struggle with, is there's a lot of complexity. There's a lot of moving parts. And if you don't know what you're doing, you may be able to get the easy use case or the positive use case working and think you're done, and not realize that there are a lot of other issues that you're not thinking of. You may be opening a security hole. You may be you know, creating a configuration problem. You may have issues when you, you know, certain connectivity problems. It's not easy to do. When you think about the amount of devices and manufacturers of those devices that work on different protocols and have different security standards, et cetera, then being tethered, let's say, to a gateway that then processes information and feeds it through the infrastructure, cloud, or, you know, cellular, et cetera, and then pushing that up through your security layers, and then whatever applications, everything you're operating on top of that, that full stack or that ecosystem is incredibly complex. And a lot of organizations are just not set up for that challenge. They don't know how to do it. And so somebody like Khajiit, you know, what we do is we come in and say, we're going to give you an out-of-the-box solution. So we're going to handle all of those things. We're going to give you analytics. We're going to allow you to do content filtering. We're going to allow you to do, you know, policy enforcement and traffic management. And, you know, if you want non-addressable IPs, meaning an IP address on a, say, a pacemaker or something that you don't want anybody to be able to go and type in the IP address and get to it, well, we can set up those private VPN tunnels, you know, so that you can only access it from one locked down secure device. You know, and how you put all that together, how do you decide what devices to buy? How do you pair them? How do you, you know, do the logistics of them? It's very, very complicated. So I'd say the three biggest things that people run into are security challenges, configuration problems, and integration with their existing systems.
And I completely agree with you. I think that, you know, you said it really well. Full stack complexity is a problem, right? Especially if your bench is thin. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd mentioned at the top of the podcast that you do a lot of work with educational institutions. Are they the same as in terms of the challenges that they're facing, or do their challenges have a little bit of a different twist?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it depends. Well, I'll give you a couple of use cases of our education, and then I'll contrast it with a different use case. So one of our use cases, for instance, is what we call a smart bus. So what we'll do is we'll put a router on a bus. You'll bring it in on a Friday night. We'll do the installation of it. It will be configured, turned in, you know, powered up, all that stuff. It'll be configured with the stop arm, you know, when somebody stops the bus, to make sure that nobody's going past the arm when kids get on and off the bus, with video cameras there. It'll have video cameras pointing back into the bus and down, you know, to see kids getting on and off the bus. It'll set up a Wi-Fi network on the bus for those kids that get on and need to connect to do their homework or whatever. It'll set policies in terms of what content, you know, they can and can't get to. A lot of different things are all set up, and we configure this in a bus, right? And then the analytics on that, you know, what is the ridership? You know, how many kids got on and off the bus? You know, what's the route of the bus? What's the geolocation of where the bus happens to be at this time? Is it running late? You know, a million different things that you can kind of put together, and I won't go into more detail than that, and all that security. We package all that stuff up. They bring the bus in, like I said, on Friday night. Monday they roll out, or, you know, Sunday night, whatever, they roll out, and it's on and it's ready to go. And it can do really cool things like, you know, we have some of our buses that will take a picture of somebody that goes past their stop arm and actually send it to the county to have a ticket issued. And it's really cool because they will, half of the revenue from those tickets will go back to the school system. And, you know, half of it will then go to the county. So there's just a million things that you can do. So in education, it's more about safety. It's more about access. You know, it's more about control, you know, those kind of things. It's not about wide open internet, allow everybody to do everything. It's really focused more on that student and that student experience and giving them access to the right types of content, right? Outside of that, I'll give you a different contrast. So one of the products we support is wireless backup. So one of the customers we support runs all the Five Guys, right? So let's say that that you go in to buy a hamburger and Comcast is digging outside and hits a fiber cable, and now they don't have internet connectivity. Well, nobody takes, you know, cash anymore or has cash. So it's like, I can't sell hamburgers anymore. So in this case, we have this thing called LTE failover. So not everything, like an open Wi-Fi network, but in this particular case, you would have the key systems like the point of sales and, you know, certain things that are connected to this failover. And the second that their internet connectivity goes down, everything just fails over to this other connectivity. It's a little slower, of course, but all the same policies and security and everything as you would be on your wired connectivity. And they can just keep doing, you know, it's business continuity. They can just keep doing business as usual. Now, do you want that open? Do you want people connecting to it? No. Do you want to know, you know, if suddenly a bot attacks it and, you know, you see traffic going out to a China IP address? Yes. You know, so there's a lot of things configured in that solution, for instance, that may be very different from the education. But you may not, there's certain, probably things are more locked down, but also alerts and things like that are more important there. And I'll just throw in a third one, say an EV charging station. You know, they make money by the number of charges. So if I've got a bank of 50 of them that are sitting out, you know, in front of a stadium and, you know, an event is coming up and, you know, I see that, you know, three of them. So talk about the device telematics. Three of them are not fully charging. You know, two of them have connection errors and can't take payment, you know, whatever. You know, having that that internet connectivity where there's not going to be a cable, you know, connection anywhere, having it run over cellular, and to be able to run those diagnostics and automatically detect when something is wrong and roll a truck out there to fix it, you know, so that they can have that revenue assurance is really important because now you're collecting those telematics and taking an action on those alerts. So those are just three different examples where, you know, you're going to configure different equipment in different ways, different security, you know, different use cases. And so, you know, it's very unique and interesting. And I think that's why it gets complex is all those things that I just said is very use case driven.
Well, all those fast food eating folks at lunchtime are grateful for you right now, Greg. They're just grateful.
Just made me hungry.
So. Great fries, what can I say? You know, they give you too many, way too many.
So are there any particular advances, you know, as a CTO that you're looking forward to in this space?
So I'll throw one of my favorite things out there. My kids laugh at me when I say this, but, you know, my kids are young enough where they would say, "Dad, I can't believe you existed in a time when there was no internet. Like, how did you get places? I mean, like, use these paper things called maps, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, they make fun of me. And I laugh at them. And I say, you know what, one day your kids are going to be saying, "Dad, what do you mean you don't know how to work the holographic, you know, vacation machine, you know, so you can just come home and chill and be on a beach or, you know, whatever." And I was like, you know, you're making fun of me, but technology is happening and changing so fast that things you can't even imagine right now aren't 20 or 50 years away. They're 2, 3, 5 years away. I mean, it could be anything from 3D printed kidneys to whatever. But one of the things that I'm excited about right now, I was at the HIMSS Healthcare Information Management Symposium, and I saw I walked in on a presentation that was happening, and it was a lady having a conversation. It was a doctor, you know, with her stethoscope, having a conversation with this guy who was holding his little dog. There's a bunch of people sitting in the audience, and I just kind of walked in and I'm watching from maybe 35 feet away. And she's having a conversation with him. She's saying, so how, you know, are things since your hip replacement? And he's kind of bending and, you know, leaning in and saying, yeah, you know, it's pretty good. You know, it hurts a little still when I do this, but blah, blah, blah. He's like, you know, I got to keep up with my little dog here. And the dog barks. And I'm sitting here, I'm watching this. I'm like, hey, this is kind of boring. They're doing I don't know what they're about to demonstrate. And then suddenly she says, all right, well, I'll see you next week. I'll check in on you next week. And they shut off the hologram. And suddenly she's just standing there by herself. I would have bet $1 million that that person was standing there. Like, I could not tell. I mean, this person was turning left, right, et cetera. I mean, it was like that person was sitting right next to you, and I could not tell the difference. And I just think of the applications of that in our future society, whether it's in medical, whether it's in, you know, having a virtual date. I don't know. It could be a million different things, but just the technology of how they're using the curved screens now and taking 3D angles and transmitting that. And, you know, I just see that as being something that, like I said, you could even take a vacation like that. So I see the hologram stuff is really being a really cool thing. I don't know to the extent our company is going to work with that in the very near future, but it is something that I'm excited that I think 3, 5, 10 years from now, we're going to be like, how do we ever live without this? It's like having an iPhone, you know? So
help me, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, but you know what? I joke, but in all seriousness, I do think that that is pretty cool technology. The ability to bridge space is really important when we think about like the next generation of collaboration and communication and immersive experiences. Right now it's a little clunky or it's not affordable. I mean, there's like lots of things that can happen, but technology is moving so quickly that we can make those happen fast. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I imagine NATO sitting there without having to send all of their presidents and whatever, you know, sitting at their virtual table without their security details everywhere, just doing their virtual summit in a way that's not a Zoom, but rather a, you know, being able to lean over and whisper to somebody. I don't know. Anyway, I just think that's a cool, fun technology.
That is cool and fun. Well, we always wrap up the podcast by asking about a fun fact. Doesn't have to be technology related, but it could be. So what is your fun fact for today, Greg?
So, you know, I grew up, so I'm the propeller head in my family. I come from a very large family, and, you know, everyone was, you know, master craftsmen, you know, from plumbers to electricians to mechanics to they could build, fix anything. So, you know, I grew up as the youngest, being drug along to every single thing, carrying buckets, holding flashlights, whatever. And I had to learn how to basically build or fix everything from houses to replacing an engine in a car, et cetera. And I have to say that I love it. There is something therapeutic to me when I come home after sitting on a computer screen all day of actually building or taking something apart, figuring out how it works, fixing it. There's something about putting my hands on something that is cathartic to me. And so now I teach my kids, like, hey, you don't have a guy. Like, everybody used to say, I got a guy that does this. My family, there is no guy. You are the guy. And so, you know, my son, for instance, he's like, yeah, I got rejected from my brakes on my car at the inspection. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go get the brakes and put them on. And he's like, don't you have a guy? I'm like, you're the guy. You know, so I really like just all that stuff, you know, working with my hands and making my kids work with their hands instead of just looking at their computer screens all day. So I feel like you get better at problem solving when you actually have to see, touch, feel, and, you know, look at things from different angles. So something I enjoy.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's cool.
Well, thanks for all of your insight that you've had today. And thanks, Joe, as well. This has been Elevate the Edge, and we look forward to coming back to you soon to hear more about what's going on with the Edge. Ciao, until next time.
Thank you, Maribel.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe so you can easily find us again. Follow us on Twitter at Maribel Lopez and at Digital Cloud Gal, and on LinkedIn. Links to our social profiles, show notes, and ways to listen to the podcast can be found at ElevateTheEdge.com.